Good morning. Morning all. Welcome to the congregation here at Godston and to the church that is Godston Baptist Church, not the building but the people. So welcome among us, and especially if you're visiting, it's great to see you. Thank you for coming along. And this morning is a little bit different. We've got a thing called Home Mission Sunday. If you don't know what Home Mission is, there are leaflets scattered around, three different types of leaflets. You know, during those parts of the service where you're tempted to nod off, maybe read one of them, have a little look, maybe during the offering, I don't know, something like that. Just have a little look, and it'll tell you all sorts of information about what's happening locally, but also what's happening further afield, nationally, with this little thing called Home Mission, which is a way that we support ministry in places really where ministry wouldn't happen. And we're blessed to have Penny with us this morning, who's got an amazing little story about what she's doing in a part of our neighbourhood and tremendous prospects and possibilities for just the gospel and for reaching out in a new development. So you'll hear all about that in a minute. I thought we'd start with a little liturgy. So would you stand with me? We're not used to liturgy, always Baptist, but we're going to do a bit anyway. Here we go. A little bit of declaring. Do you know how sometimes... I was at a conference this week, and one of the speakers there, a guy called David, said, sometimes you have to talk to yourself and tell yourself something, don't you? You ever just talk, you know, come on, Phil, for goodness sake. You have to talk to yourself. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves and tell ourselves what the reality is. And that's what we're doing this morning. So no matter how you feel, this is the truth. So I'll say the bits in white. You say the bits in slightly odd yellow. Here we go. O God, who created the heavens and stretched them out.
We praise you.
You designed the earth and all that lives there.
We praise you.
Well, that's me and Tony clicking at the same time and confusing each other. You give life to people on it and your spirit to all those who walk upon it.
We praise you.
Let the eyes of the blind be opened. Let the broken hearts be healed. Let the poor hear the good news. Let the prison doors be flung open.
Your kingdom come, our Lord. Your will be done.
So we shall all sing a new song, our Lord.
Praise your name.
So let's worship him, shall we? This God whose kingdom comes. I hope you're expectant that his kingdom is here and that God is here and that he wants to talk to you this morning. Let's worship him. He is the Lord and he reigns on high. On high, he is the Lord. Spoke into the darkness, created the light. He is the Lord. Who is like unto him, never ending in days. He is the Lord. And he comes in power when we call on his name. He is the Lord. Show your power, O Lord our God. Show your power, O Lord our God. Your gospel, O Lord, is the hope for our nation. You are the Lord. It's the power. Not for riches, but look to the cross. You are the Lord. And for our inheritance, give us the lost. You are the Lord. Show your power, O Lord our God. Save your power, Sometimes in the UK we forget that the gospel is the power of God in our nation. We forget that the gospel itself isn't just a story that we tell people. It has power. It changes lives. When people hear that, they hear the words of God. They hear their value. They hear their forgiveness. They hear a chance of a new start. And it changes lives. That the gospel is not just a story. It is this amazingly powerful tool that God gives us to share with people. And if you don't believe that, let me read something to you. Revelation 7, this is what's going to happen in the end. I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from all nations and provinces and languages, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white, and they were shouting with a mighty shout. And listen to this. Salvation belongs to our God. It is His. It is His gospel. It is His salvation. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's Jesus. And now all the angels were crowding round the throne and the elders and the four living beings. And they were falling down on their faces before the throne, worshipping God. Amen, they said. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power be to our God forever and ever. Because this salvation story has literally changed the destiny of millions of people who now gather around the throne. Salvation belongs to our God. Let's stand and worship Him. Until that moment when millions upon millions, a vast crowd that no one can number, gathers around that throne. We want to start now and we want to say, all hail the one to whom salvation belongs. All hail the Lamb who sits on that throne. He is worthy of everything that we do, of our time, our energy, our money. He is worthy. And when we see you face to face, we will know you were worth it. You were worth every sacrifice. You were worth every decision we made for you. You were worthy. Let's sing together. Praise shall be. sing that without the music, without the piano. Let's just sing that with our voices one last time. All hail the Lamb enthroned on high. His praise shall be a battle cry. He reigns victorious, forever glorious. His name is Jesus. He is the Lord. Jesus, would you be Lord this morning in this place? As we, your living temples, gather, would you take your throne? Would you live in us? Through your Holy Spirit, would you reign as King and as Lord? And through us, would you bring your kingdom to those around us so that they may gather with us one day in a place that we can barely describe and worship? The Lamb. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Let me just tell you what's going on this week and a few things on the screen just to remind you of really important things like tea and coffee, let's be honest. Possibly biscuits. Don't know. But there you go, tea and coffee in the hall afterwards. Hope you join us for that. If you want to catch up on the series we're on at the moment, which is Will the Real Jesus Stand Up as we lead towards Easter? And as we ask questions about the real Jesus in the real Galilee and the real Israel of his day and unpack some of the words that we read in the past and just thought, well, what's that mean? And now it suddenly takes on a new life. That's what we're trying to do. And hope you catch up with that, and we'll continue that next week. But today, here you go, Penny, your name is up in lights. There you go. This is Penny, who is down here. You can only see the back of her head at the moment, but you will see her in all her glory in a minute. And Penny's coming up just to talk about what she works with SEBA and with the Baptist Union and for and on behalf, really, of us to plant churches and to be involved in great opportunities that are in our region. And Penny's going to talk to you about that. Kent Thameside Project, as you can see. And she's just here, but Penny's going to come up and share that in a minute. There is in your bulletin a little envelope, and you might want to just think ahead a little bit because it has some things to fill in if you need to fill them in. Borrow a beggar pen off somebody, but we're taking up an offering this morning, our ordinary loose offering. We'll support the church work here, but we want to support the work that God is doing further afield. So we're going to take up a little special offering. If you want to put something in there and you feel God is calling you to support that work, then put something in an envelope and put that in the offering this morning. And if you are a taxpayer, we can claim 20-25% back off of that. So we just encourage you to do that if you can. It makes makes a lot of sense. Our leadership nomination deadline is today. As you know, we've got our leadership elections in March this month. So we're going to be electing new leaders, but obviously we will only elect those that you, the congregation, feel God is calling. So we're reliant upon you just to discern who you feel God is calling to serve us in servant leadership. So the deadline's today. Amanda's not here, so if you have a form, let me have it, okay? Let me have it. That's a dangerous phrase. But let me have the form, I mean. And if you could do that, that'd be lovely. So get it to me and I'll make sure it gets to the deacon's meeting tomorrow night, which is happening then. Dates for your diary. Here you go. This week there is, on Friday, there is a Women's World Day of Prayer. We've had a request. If you're going to the World Day of Prayer, they've asked if one of our ladies, and actually you don't even know, I don't know why, because it's a Women's World Day of Prayer, but you can be a bloke and go along. Rumour has it. So there you go. It's true. Yeah, it's open. There you go. So you can go along whether you're a woman or a man. But they are looking for any ladies who might want to take part in that service. And there's a couple of readings they'd love for someone from Godston to do. So if you're going along, could you just catch me at the end and I will pass that information on to you. So that's this Friday And if you're able to help in that service, that would be great. Don't forget, Rob's Thanksgiving service is on Saturday the 14th of March, 12 noon, where we're going to give thanks for his life. And thanks for the blessing that Rob was to us. And just support each other in that that loss of Rob. The Lord's gain is our loss. And we're going to be remembering Rob on that day. Put in your diary, Big Church Day Out, 23rd and 24th of May. Don't forget that one. And also, Oxford Manor, we're all going as a church on the 19th of July. We're going to spend some time together because part of our vision is to know God and know each other, to have a degree of intimacy in our relationships. And one way of doing that is spending time together. So we're going to do that on Sunday the 19th. Put that in your diary. Don't forget those. That'd be really good. Okay, I'm going to hand over to Penny now, who's just going to, I don't know what Penny's going to do, but I wait with bated breath. Over to you, Penny.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bill. And it's really good to be with you this morning. I know I haven't met you, but I'm really pleased that you've given me the opportunity to share. What I thought I'd do, rather than just talk about the area that I work in, and perhaps we could have the slides up, Tony. Thank you. Just, I thought I'd do a little bit of a quiz. But first of all, in case you woke up wondering where you are here. And I did, I drove past it, but I came back and I found it. And the area that I'm working in is between Dartford and Gravesend. It's that area called Kent Thameside. And it's an area with a lot of new housing development planned. Last year, the Chancellor of the Exchequer said that he was going to create some garden cities, and the first of these new garden cities is going to be in Ebbsfleet. And that's where I've been working for 7 years. There are Baptists alongside other Christians who really want to make sure that in this area, and all the pink areas, the new housing developments, where there's going to be loads of new housing and a brand new town, we're working to make sure that actually there are going to be churches and Christians and Christian projects that are going to be reaching out to that neighbourhood. Because it would be the worst thing, wouldn't it, if developers were allowed to put up a few thousand homes and no local Christian church or presence. So that's what we're working actively about. But I'm not going to go on about the project as such. What I would like to do is offer you the chance to take part in the Kent Thameside Challenge. And I've done this in quite a few churches where I've gone. So I would like a small team of probably about two or three people, any age, who want to give this a go. So I need a volunteers, two or three people who are up for this. But don't worry, because if you don't know the answer, you can ask the congregation. And we do this by a very sophisticated method of raising hands. It is multi-choice. It's getting easier all the time. And if you're really stuck, you can ask a deacon. Now, that's got your deacons worried. So can I have a few people come and take the challenge on? There's even a prize. Thank you. Great, thank you. You'd feel a bit lonely. I think you're going to have to get some volunteers. Would you like to encourage some people? Rob, you're being picked. Yeah, and one more. Who else up for this?
John.
Right, that's all right.
So we've got the answer to that one.
That makes me feel better because I don't know his name either. Brilliant. Okay, well, don't forget, if you get the multi-choice, but if it gets stuck, you can ask the congregation or you can ask a deacon. If I'd brought my kids, you could have asked an expert. You can, yeah. Oh, definitely. Okay, here's the plan of the area where they're going to build the new garden city. How many homes will be built in the new Ebbsfleet Garden City? Here's some choices to give you a little bit of a heads up. Is it 10,000, 7,500, 12,000 or 15,000? And you're welcome to confer together.
15, we reckon. 15.
Yeah. Okay, they're going for 15,000 and that gets you off to a very good start. Yes, 15,000 new homes across the area. And that's primary schools, secondary schools, shops, cinemas, everything that will have to go with that. It's a whole new town into an empty quarry at the moment. Now, there's a development on the old hospital site called The Bridge. They've got something in their hallways. What is it? And here's your choice. Is it an electronic bus timetable? Is it designer doormats? Is it remote-controlled door locks? Or is it a welly boot rack? Because you need one of those when you're living on a building site. What do you reckon? Yes, they're still building. They've built about 400 homes. They're still building up to about 1,500 homes. So what do you reckon? Yeah, they're brand new houses, and they've got something special in their hallway that I've never known of in any other house. What will it be? Don't forget, you can always ask the congregation. You can confer. What do you reckon? You go for the designer doormats. Okay. What do you reckon? Do you reckon the... Some head shakes. No. It's actually electronic bus timetable. They're trying to encourage people not to use their cars. So when the fast track bus comes through, they know when that bus is coming, when the next ones are coming, and apparently also tells you the weather forecast. Never mind, we're out of tooth, all right, don't worry. You might still get the prize. Right, have a look at this. It's an aerial photograph of somewhere that's quite important and significant in the area. What is this? Here's your choice. You sure? It could be University Campus. Is it Darrenfe Valley Hospital? Is it a top secret UFO landing station only known to the Baptists? Or is it Blue Water Shopping Centre?
Blue Water, definitely.
I have three men telling me this is Blue Water. This is quite radical. Yes, absolutely right. Would you have agreed? How many people are familiar with Blue Water shopping? Yeah. I reckon it's rather like Marmite. You love it or hate it, depending on how you feel about shopping. But, yeah, that's quite significant. And one of the things we do is Cafe Church in Costa Coffee, which is open to the mail. It's Big Costa. And we do that once a month, on the second Sunday of each month. But my question for you is, how many people, on average, visit Blue Water each year? And Blue Water Management call these guests. So here's your choice. How many guests do they get? Is it 10 million, 27 million, 7.5 million, or 40 million?
I think it might be 10.
I was sort of thinking, yeah. Ask this lady.
No. Do you want to ask the congregation?
Yes.
Shall we involve the congregation here? Here you go. You raise your hands if you think it's 10 million. Okay. 27 million. We're going with that one. 7.5 million. A few in there. 40 million. Well, it wasn't very conclusive, was it? But I think probably came out. You're going to go with the 27 million. 27. Right. What a wise bunch. Absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, it's rising, so there might be more this year. But yeah. Well, absolutely. That's what my husband would say. How many times? But I have meetings there. I go for work. Okay, from Ebbsfleet, you can get to Paris. How long does it take? It's a direct train. And this is assuming there's no delays in the tunnel. 2 hours 45, 2 hours 5, 2 hours 18, or 2 hours 59? What do you reckon? Going to hurry, you gentlemen. You're going for 2:18. 2:18. You wish you'd stood up. It's 2:05. And it doesn't stop quite by the Eiffel Tower. But absolutely, yes, on a good run. And you can go in the other direction from Ebbsfleet into St Pancras Station in just 18 minutes now, or 12 minutes to Stratford, travelling at 140 miles an hour through Dagenham and the Dagenham Marshes. So it's a very good and strategic place, both for Europe and for getting into London. And that's been marketed, the new house has been marketed as a good place to commute from. Now, this bit of land sticking out here was going to be housing, but they've changed the plans. And they've revealed some new plans for that bit of land there that sticks out into the Thames. What are they? Is it a Japanese car plant? Is it Maritime Study Centre with the largest aquarium in Europe? Is it a world-class theme park or is it the O2 Arena Mark II? What do you think? Don't forget, you can always ask a deacon and you can always ask the congregation.
We don't really know.
Do you want to ask the congregation again? Or? Yeah, look, let's have a quick vote. Anyone for a Japanese car plant? Anyone for the Maritime Study Centre? Okay, anyone for the World Class Theme Park? Oh, and the O2 Arena? No. Well, it's just one. You're going with the theme park. You're absolutely right. Paramount are sponsoring, and the BBC have come in on this, as have the makers of Wallace and Gromit, a theme park that is going to be larger than Euro Disney. And they're talking about creating 27,000 new jobs. So once the planning application's been approved by central government, which should happen later this year, they'll start building. It'll take about 4 years to build. So don't start queuing for the roller coasters yet, but it won't be far away for you guys to come as well. Now, Dawn works in Northfleet North. I'll share a little bit about that later, which is a very socially deprived area. And this is the pub where she hosted her carol service and Chris Jingle service. What's the name of the pub? Have a quick look, because there is a bit of a clue in that picture just. Is it the Fleet Arms, the Rose, the George, or the Fleet Tavern? Yes, it's the Rose Pub. Exactly. And the landlady's been incredibly open to Dawn, that's the one in yellow over there, working there. Okay, last question. What's the vision of the Kent Thameside project? And here's your options. To pioneer new churches and Christian projects, to make sure everyone will move in and will meet Christians, to help build a real sense of community, or all of those and more. Absolutely, yes, it is. It's all of those things and more, because we have an amazing big area and a lot of opportunity. But the key thing, having talked about houses and all the other things that are happening, is to remember that it's actually all about the people that will move in and giving them the opportunity to meet with Jesus. So don't go away. I promised a prize. I have prizes. I just wondered, would you share them with the congregation? I've brought jelly babies to remind you it's all about people. So you might like to share with the congregation. Okay. So enjoy a jelly baby. And as you do, think about people like you who will move into the new housing, a real variety of people, and just pray that God will use them. And then I'll share a little bit more later on about the project. Thank you.
Hey, Penny. It's great to hear what's happening. I've just spent 3 days at the Ministers' Conference over in Ashburnham, and just hearing news about what Penny's doing and Dawn over there in that neck of the woods, and so many others who are supported, paid for by local Baptist churches, putting money into this thing called the Home Mission Fund, and it enables all these folks to serve us in wonderful ways, and for us to pray for them and to give in order to make some of these things happen. So it's fantastic that SEBA is so forward-looking and thinking, okay, what are the new opportunities for the gospel in our region, and let's get in there before they've even built the place. Let's get in first. And it's wonderful to see. So hope you're encouraged by that. It's really good, really good news. We're going to have some intercessions. We're going to be praying about some of the things that are going on through Home Mission in a minute. And after that, we'll be taking up an offering. So the offering's a bit later this morning, just so we can respond, really, to what God is doing among us. But in the meantime, young people are heading off to their groups. I'm not sure what... Head off to your groups. And we'll see you soon. Have a great time. We'll save you the jelly babies. Well, we might have a few left. While they're heading out, maybe you'd like to say hello to somebody. Left, right, front, back. If you don't know somebody, say hello. If you do, say hello again. Okay. We're going to spend a little bit of time praying, and then we're going to take up an offering just to support what God is doing through various Baptist congregations and folks who are working on behalf of our local Baptist family here. But let's pray as we start, shall we? And then we'll take up our offering. Let's pray. Father, I remember a letter written to a church by a man named Paul. And Paul said this: I thank God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. And as we look back over centuries, we see time and time again those who have been called by you to work in all sorts of spheres of life have been so grateful that they have a partnership, that they're not called to do it alone. They're called to partner with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and they feel the support and the love of those who cheer them on and who encourage them and who provide for their practical needs so that they can be ministers of your gospel. And Lord, that's what you call us to be partners of the gospel wherever it happens. Whether that be a local church in Godston or Oxted or in our communities, to partner with others who are seeking to reach out, who are seeking to share this powerful thing called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, so often in our intercessions we pray about the problems of the world. I want to pray this morning just to say thank you to you for all that you're doing, and pray for those folks who are our partners in the gospel right now. Thank you for Laura over in Aylsham. Spent half of the week cleaning other people's houses so that she can, with the aid of Home Mission, help that little congregation in Aylsham reach out, and is making amazing inroads into that community. She's prepared to be a cleaner so that she can help fund her own ministry. Help us be a partner with her, Lord. For Jonathan, not far away over in Earlswood in Red Hill, and Lord, thank you for him and his commitment to that congregation there and that people and to your gospel and seeking to reach out there. For others like Guy over at New Hope Fellowship in Blackboys. For Penny, who's here today, church planting in Kent Thameside. For Neil, who I heard about only just 2 days ago, who is just about to plant a church in Brighton with another couple and is so excited about the prospect of that housing estate and making a difference because you'll be there with them. Lord, for the 15 other churches and church plants in our area, just in the southeast, within an hour of us, who are seeking to serve you. Thank you that they are our partners in the gospel. Help us to be theirs. Lord, for chaplains who are working through Kent Workside Workplace Mission, for so many things that are happening because your people are giving to local mission through the Home Mission. Lord, I want to thank you for so many other things that we benefit from. Thank you for the settlement scheme which enabled me to find Godston and Godston to find me, and that is currently helping Martin to link up with churches around our nation and making introductions for him, for the regional ministers who make that possible, that are funded by Home Mission. For the SEBA team, Southeast Baptist Association, that little team of regional guys and girls who are serving you and serving us every day. For Paul, who pastors the pastors. Thank you for him. Lord, give him wisdom and encouragement as he visits and encourages pastors around our region. For Stuart, who helps with settlement and so many other things, setting up and enabling us to meet last week as ministers at a conference and be inspired again, and to remember why we do what we do, to remember it's all about you, it's all about your gospel, it's all about your call. For Maeve, working with our youth and youth groups and heading off to Soul Survivor again this year, setting up a little mission in Edenbridge this year, just local to us, and inviting local churches to get involved. For the training and the child protection training and the legislation support and the support of ministers and even their spouses through the Baptist Connection system. All of these things funded by us. Funded by us partnering through the Baptist Union to make them happen. Lord, will you remind us that our biblical relationships are not dependent ones, where we take no responsibility and people don't take responsibility for their own lives. We're not into dependent relationships because you're not. And we're not into independent relationships, even though we are quite an independent church, Lord, and can make our own decisions. We recognise we need each other, and that by partnering we can do so much more together and support things in areas beyond our own local villages. Help us to remember that when you talk about relationships, it's always interdependent. That we recognise we're stronger when each of us plays our part in the body of Christ. When each of us supports and cheers each other on. When each of us is part of that great cloud of witnesses that cheer others past the finishing line and encourage them as they're our partners in the gospel. Lord, that's true for us as a fellowship locally as well, and we pray for ourselves as a congregation. We seek to discern who are those that you are calling to serve as leaders, recognising that we need folks with skills and gifts. Would you help us as we are interdependent, as we are the body of Christ, so that each of us says we need one another and recognises the strength and the beauty and the diversity that comes from that. We want to thank you. Thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for all those folks we haven't mentioned this morning who are serving you, and it's all funded through local congregations like us. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to be a partner with others in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to take up our offering. As I said, there's sort of two going on at the same time this morning. So let's take up an offering. And as we do that, let's partner with others. While we do that, we're going to sing. And it's a song about beautiful feet. I don't think you ever think of feet as beautiful, do you? But feet that take the gospel somewhere are truly beautiful feet. And that's what it says in the Bible. So we're going to sing together as we take up our offering. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news.
God reigns.
is holy, your God reigns. Your God reigns, our God reigns. Our God reigns, our God reigns. Our God reigns. So, Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being a partner in the gospel. Thank you for the privilege of being able to do it in a very practical way, by giving of what you've given to us so that we can support others who are our fellow partners. Lord, we pray you'll take what we've given today and that you'd provide for the ministry in this place as we seek to reach out with your gospel, but also as you take these funds and as you support others in our region. We pray, Lord, that every year, whenever I gather at that conference, whenever we hear from one of our home mission pastors or evangelists, that we will hear even more of what you're doing locally and have that tremendous joy of knowing we're part of that, that the privilege has been ours to support that in very practical ways. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. And take what we give and use it for your glory, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'm going to hand over Penny, and Penny's just going to bring God's word to us this morning. Thanks, Penny. Cheers. Oh, yeah, microphone.
I'd like to spend a few minutes sharing with you from a passage that has really influenced what I've been doing in Kent Thameside. And hopefully together you'll grasp something that will help you perhaps as you think about mission in your context in Godstone, hear a little bit more about how we've been applying it in Kent as well. I'm going to look at Luke chapter 10 and the first nine verses from that passage. You might want to follow in your Bibles, but I've actually got the version here from the Message, and the words will be coming up on the screen as I read. Later, the master selected 70, or some versions, as you know, say 72, and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he intended to go. He gave them this charge: what a huge harvest, and how few the harvest hands. So, on your knees, ask the God of the harvest to send harvest hands. On your way, but be careful, this is hazardous work. You're like lambs in a wolf pack. Travel light, comb and toothbrush, and no extra luggage. Don't loiter and make small talk with everyone you meet along the way. When you enter a home, greet the family. Peace. If your greeting is received, then it's a good place to stay. But if it's not received, take it back and get out. Don't impose yourself. Stay at one home, taking your meals there, for a worker deserves 3 square meals. Don't move from house to house looking for the best cook in town. Tempting though that might be. When you enter a town and are received, eat what they set before you. Heal anyone who is sick and tell them, God's kingdom is right on your doorstep. You're probably familiar with those wristbands, WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? And when I thought about coming to Kent and this particular mission, that was a key question for me. Because there was a vast area, and starting from scratch, it's not like you're taking over from anybody else. I came with the role of looking at how we were going to do mission. And I sat there and I thought, what would Jesus do? Now, to be honest, I'm still not sure about that answer. And I still ask myself that regularly. But I was drawn to this passage in Luke because I thought, well, what did Jesus do? Because that sometimes helps us to think about what he might do today and what he might be asking of us in mission. So we have here the sending out of the 70 or 72. And it was quite a challenge for them. If you imagine, they will have spent some time with Jesus. These weren't the closest 12 to Jesus. So their knowledge of him and his teaching wouldn't perhaps be as extensive, certainly wouldn't be as deep as that of the 12 disciples. But Jesus sends them out, and that's a real moving out of a comfort zone, isn't it? And I know you as a church are working on how you can get to know God better, how you can grow as disciples, but then in that, how you can actually go out to reach others. And so if you're feeling out of your comfort zone, then actually you're in good company. Because if we're going to be prepared to go and to do mission, we have to take what we know of Jesus, even though it might seem very limited and very small, and be prepared to go to the places he sends us. I like this. It says, a ship in a harbour is safe, but that's not what ships are for. Same with church. Being together, being God's people, is good, and it is good for us to meet together. But we are for so much more. God wants us to go out and to share his love and his kingdom with those who wouldn't know. And particularly in our culture today, fewer and fewer people are going to come into our church. We have to find ways out. I'm married to Barry, and he's a GP. Unfortunately, he's a GP who hurt himself yesterday, was on the other side of being a patient. But he's a GP, and I have two children, not children really, 17 and 15, just to give you a bit of background. But Barry's got two brothers, and they're in their 20s, 30s. And, you know, for them, church just doesn't feature. They don't even think about it. Occasionally, when one of my nephews started prodding my brother-in-law, Scott, about, what do you believe, Daddy, and why do you believe it? He started to think. And he did actually ask my husband about his beliefs. But on the whole, going to church isn't, for that generation, something they would normally think about doing. So if we want to engage in mission, we need to be prepared to find creative ways to go into the places where we can meet them. And that will mean for some of us, maybe most of us, actually getting out of our safe places and doing something a little bit more challenging. So here's some things that we want to note. When Jesus sent out these 72, he didn't send them alone. He sent them out in pairs. And I think that's really important. We don't go into this mission on our own. We go with others. Two is a very small team. Sometimes it's a larger team, depending on the particular context. But it is good to know we're sent out in teams. The God that we know and we love and we worship is a God who is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So within him is community life, is a shared love. And out of that love, he created us. And it's an extension of that love and that community that he wants us to go out as his people to say, there is more to life. There is a God who loves you and wants you to know him. So actually, as teams, we can share together our relationships are a picture of how God's kingdom works. They're a picture of that commitment and that love. As a church here, you are the body of Christ in Godstone. You're part of a wider body with other churches. But together you portray something that on your own you can't. So I think it's vital that we find people who we can partner with. And that's the word that's been used quite a lot this morning. People who share the same vision. If you've got a heart for reaching a particular group in Godstone, who else has that? Who else might want to go with you? Is it to new mums? Is it to teenagers? Is it to elderly? Is it to people in your workplace? Pray that God would give you somebody who will partner with you in that. So this is Kent Thameside. This is Ebbsfleet Valley, the new Ebbsfleet Garden City. 18 months ago, that land was just quarried, wet, very, in fact this time last year, very dry, well very wet and nothing happening. Now that's the first, there's about 25 homes occupied, and this is the first of a very large development of 6,000 homes. And so this time last year I suddenly thought, I've been here 6 years talking about this, they're building homes, oh goodness, I'd better get on and get a team going. And it was quite daunting, because where do you start? Now, I'm not totally on my own because I'm part of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Gravesend, and that's probably the largest church in the neighbourhood, and they have said that they would be a partner with SEBA in this. So I have that resource and help there. But I asked and prayed that God would put together a team, and this is some of the team that has started to meet, and I was so excited in September. A few people I've invited to be part of it. But actually, as we sat together and people shared their stories, it was clear that God had brought this team together. First guy you see on the left, he's part of a church in Sevenoaks but lives in Northfleet. And I got to know him through some of the work we've done in Northfleet. Going round, Stripey, that's Barry, my husband. Next to him is Peter. Barry and I knew Peter 20 plus years ago when we were first married in South London. Peter was a Baptist minister working with Oasis. We'd sort of lost touch, and then Peter picked up a leaflet in about the project in Eastbourne and said, oh, an opening in Barry, and he's working in South London at the moment, coming up for retirement and asking God, what did God have in store for him? Cut a long story short, he's bought a flat in Gravesend and he feels called to be part of the team. Moving along is the minister of Emmanuel Baptist Church. He and his wife, they'll be retiring in about 18 months. They've bought one of the first show homes on the development. So we already have a couple that will be moving in. And as a result, they've been invited not only to the things for new residents, but actually Michael was asked if he could provide a team to carol sing at a social that the builders were putting on. So we didn't have to provide all the refreshments. We just had to turn up and sing carols. So that's really good. Next to him is Vanessa. And Vanessa's been part of Orpington Baptist Church since she was about this high. And Orpington Baptist Church have taken an interest in the project. So I've shared with them a couple of times a year about what's been happening. And she recently sensed that God was saying she should move out and leave Orpington and be involved in something new. She lives in Darrenth, which is very close to Edgefleet. And so she's also felt called. And then we have Jenny and Roger. Jenny is a Methodist lay preacher. They're not really involved in a Methodist church much at the moment, but feel really called and have done for years to this area. In addition to that, we've got Jean, who's an evangelist from the Anglican church, and we've got Clara and her family, who are an African family. So there's a real diverse group there, and I'm so thankful to God for bringing together a team of folk. Prior to this, I was church planting for the London Baptist Association in Docklands, and we went as a family on our own, moved into a new housing development, and we struggled. For 9 years, we struggled to get a good team together. We had some, but there was only about six of us, and that was a really, really tough thing. And one of the things I've learned is you really can't do it with a small team, so I'm so grateful to God for that new team. This is Northfleet North. So bordering all the beautiful brand new houses, and they are very nice, bordering that is this really socially deprived area. And I felt God said to me quite a while ago, don't forget the poor. That's really important. It's a kingdom principle, and I felt really strongly. So we had a little group doing some work there, and it was hard actually because it's difficult with a small group, and it was difficult for me to tie in all the different pieces of work. So 3 years ago, Dawn came as a student minister, and Dawn is so different from me. We joke about it, never wears a skirt, always rides a motorbike, from a working class background in Sevenoaks, calls a spade or even something ruder. But that's Dawn, and she loves the work she's doing, and she can really relate to the people. She's now ordained as an evangelist, and she's staying on for another 3 years part-time. And Dawn's been working hard to build her team. That's some of the folk that work with her. They do some great work amongst kids, particularly, even though Dawn never wanted to work amongst kids. She's got kids who are just excited about the Action Bible, want to know more of these Bible stories. She's got four young people who aren't Christians but want to go to Soul Survivor with her. And she's working alongside people, just getting to know them, befriending them, and meeting them regularly in the pub. She tells me it's ministry. And Sue in the middle there became a Christian in the last 12 months through Dawn's contacts. So that's really encouraging. But that principle of team is the same for Dawn as it is for me, and as it will be for you as you consider mission. So moving on in Jesus' words there, he gives them some instructions for the journey, and he says, be prepared for hardship It's going to be a challenge. It won't be easy. And we need to be prepared for that. Sometimes we like to know the good stuff, don't we? But Jesus is saying, no, it's going to be difficult, but don't be put off when it does get tough. Stay with it. And he uses a picture, which is quite extreme. He says, you're going out as lambs amongst wolves. Now, that's a strange picture, isn't it? Because the last thing you would do is send out lambs into a pack of wolves. But I think Jesus is saying, look, you may be vulnerable, but go in that vulnerability. Go in that humility, trusting that God will help you and that God will protect you. Recognize there are dangers out there. Be wise in what you do. But go in that humility and trust. And seek the wisdom of God in the situations that you're in. For me, one of the situations I need an awful lot of wisdom in is talking to developers. Because as I talk to them about the new developments, obviously I want to build good links so that we can get church involved at the early stages and not find 20 years down the road they've built up and there's nowhere. And I guess for some of the developers, what they're thinking or what they're hearing is, ah, here's a lady who wants a bit of land for her church, for her people. And I feel that sometimes those shutters go down. Well, we'll get to that bit, you know, eventually. But actually, we know that as Christians, we do community so well. And that we can go into places and we can actually be the people who run the toddler group, be the people who offer hospitality, who help people when they're trying to find out where to get a wheelie bin or the local GP. We can be the people who actually build community well. And that's showing the kingdom. That's showing the love of God in practical ways. So I spent quite a bit of time trying to encourage them to think broader and say, no, actually, if you're building a community centre, we'd love to work with you on that. We'd love to see some of those community things worked out in practice. But it needs wisdom. And there are times when you've got big developers talking about huge amounts of money that it feels a little bit like, I feel a little bit like a lamb amongst wolves. But I'm trusting that God actually will open the doors. Then Jesus says, don't take extra baggage. I don't know, what are you like at packing? I didn't do very well at the conference, but that was, I say some of it was work stuff. But I used to be very good. I worked with youth with a mission when I was in my 20s, and we had very tiny baggage allowance. But now I've had a family and stuff, I'm not very good at that. But sometimes we can take a lot with us, can't we? And actually, Jesus says, don't take everything you need with you. I want you to rely on the hospitality of others. I want you to go again in a place of trust. When we talk about baggage, there might be other baggage we take with us. And when we're thinking about planting new churches, we also have the baggage of what church should be like too. And one of the challenges for Dawn and I, as we dream and we think about how we can create new churches, is to say, what's church going to look like here? When I was church planting in Docklands, I went very naively with this thought, I'm going to build my favourite bits of church. So there are bits I don't like, we're going to ditch those, but we're going to have amazing preaching, we're going to have fantastic worship, we're going to have really vibrant home groups, it's going to be amazing. 3 years later, there were 6 of us struggling in a house group, and I thought, maybe this wonderful picture of church, all the best bits and the other bits, isn't quite what God is saying. And I had to make a journey, actually, where I realised that what was important was that we as Christians made a difference in the place. I thought, you know, this place should be different because Christians are here. We can show what the kingdom of God looks like. And secondly, we're here to make disciples. And how we make disciples doesn't mean everybody has to come at 11 o'clock. We have to have this amazing service. Though, if we did, there's nothing wrong with that either. So I'm trying to have and encouraging my team as we train together to think openly about what church might look like. A lot of people now do sport on a Sunday morning. My son played rugby for a while on a Sunday morning, and it was a real dilemma for us as a family. Perhaps church on a Sunday afternoon. A lot of the people we stood alongside the rugby sidelines were Catholics, and they liked Mass on a Saturday. That worked for them. Who knows? There's lots of things we can explore as we think about doing mission. Like where we meet, what time we meet, how we meet. And sometimes we need to let go. certainly for us in church planting, we're trying to let go of those things so we don't take our preconceived baggage with us, but we're open to what God might be saying. And then Jesus talks about receiving the hospitality that you're offered. He says we don't have to have it all. And if we go prepared for others to help us, then actually that becomes even more empowering and it becomes a really creative partnership. Again, when I was in Docklands in London, we wanted to help the elderly go to the supermarket because on this particular development, there was no local shopping facilities. So we hired a minibus, we had to get funding, we had a volunteer who drove it really badly in third gear, and it wasn't really a very pleasant experience. But a local hotel contacted me and said, we want to support a local charity. I've been told to contact you. We can't give you money, but I wondered if there's anything else we can do. So I talked about some things we did, and I mentioned the bus, and they went, oh, they said, we've got a courtesy minibus. What time do you use? So we said, usually mid-morning. Well, that's fine. Our courtesy minibus is free, usually once we've done train and station and airport runs. We could do that. So that's what they did. They offered their minibus. So for these only three or four ladies, they turned up and they got taken in a chauffeur-driven, very smart chauffeur, Crown Plaza hotel minibus to supermarkets. And they went for the ride, even if they didn't need shopping. They went on Thursdays and Tuesdays. And it was wonderful because for the hotel, it ticked their corporate responsibility box. For those ladies, it made a huge difference. And they knew the church had made it happen. And we couldn't have made that happen if it wasn't the hospitality of the others. Cafe Church relies very much on the hospitality of the managers. And they keep changing managers, so I keep having to catch up on that. But without that hospitality, we wouldn't be able to be in a place where people will come even if they won't go to church. And we're exploring at the moment a temporary community space. If you come off those new housings, that's the first building you come to, and it's in the grounds and belongs to the local academy where I'm a governor. And we're just exploring whether we might be able to use that space. But we would be relying on the hospitality of others because I can't pay for it. I haven't got a budget for that. But there is openness if we can create some partnerships. And then don't be distracted, Jesus says. Stay focused. He says, don't be distracted on the journeys. Eastern greetings were very elaborate. Not like my teenagers. You know, I've seen my teenagers walk past their friends and say, right, right, and that's it. Greeting over and they're on their way. Eastern greetings were time consuming and they were elaborate. They were wonderful, so much better at community and sharing than we are. But Jesus says, don't stop for those greetings, actually. Stay focused and go to the place I am sending you. And finally, he says, when you get there, preach the kingdom and pray for healing. Expect God to move as you take that message out. So as you, as a church here, take that message out, be prepared to pray for people. Be prepared to stick your neck out and say, when somebody's unwell, do you mind if I pray for you? You can be sensitive. You can say, maybe when I get home, or, you know, I wouldn't embarrass you now, unless they're open to that. You see how far they go. But be open to praying, because God, I believe, is intervening in people's lives far more than often we realise. And the kingdom of God is so much. It is actually understanding that God wants to impact every area. He is Lord. We know that. We've sung that in some of our songs. Jesus is Lord and he reigns. But his kingdom is not fully expressed here. You know that. I know that. But he wants us to be part of advancing the kingdom, of sharing that and of changing the situations where we live. I want to finish with a vision of the kingdom, and it's not original, it's not mine. It's from a book written by Steve Chalk, and at the end of it, a colleague of his wrote a vision for London. And I've changed some of the words to make it more applicable to Godstone, and it is just a vision, but I think it gives us insight into what showing the kingdom of God and what seeing that lived out might look like. It was 8 o'clock on Monday morning. I was standing by Godstone Station and I saw a new Godstone coming from the heavens. I saw a teenager leaping out of bed with joy. I told you it was a vision. Laughing at the freshness of the morning. I saw elderly ladies skipping along by the village green. I saw children paddling and enjoying the village pond. There was a football match going on in the village green, and the teams were mixed people from every people group. Asylum seekers and taxi drivers, policemen and prisoners, pensioners and politicians, people from every race under the sun. I saw a street party where the people were eating and dancing because there was hope again. And I looked across to the estate at the top end of the church, a community of hope, a community of grace, a community of warmth. And in the clearness of the morning, as I looked down into this area, there was no more asthma, no more unwanted pregnancies, no more debt, no more violence, no more overcrowding, and nobody was too busy. The local river was flowing with crystal clear water. There were no more needles and condoms in the park, no more sorrow of family breakdown, no more poverty, no more need, no more unemployment or mind-numbing jobs, no more hopelessness, no more sadness, no more tears, only joy and laughter. No more discrimination, no more drunken clubbing, no threats, no fears. The dividing walls were gone. Families and neighbours were restored. There was no more rubbish, no dealers, no guns, no knives, no dangerous dogs. There were no racial tensions, just one harmonious mix in technicolour. And I looked and I saw kids playing football in the streets and neighbours cheering them on. I saw homes without locks on the doors where a welcome was always guaranteed. I saw a playground with climbing frames that weren't rusty, where children threw themselves in the air without fear of harm, where teenagers helped the little ones up to the highest climbs. I saw a Godstone where neighbours shed favours and returned them without pressure or obligation. I saw a Godstone where hearts were unbroken, partnerships are lasting, peaceful and happy. I saw a Godstone where families eat and play together. I saw a Godstone where tears were wiped away. Now that's a vision worth living and praying for. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for that vision of what could be. We know that, Lord, we're not going to see that fully realised this side of heaven. But Lord, we know we can work to make a difference in the lives of the people you place around us and in the communities that you have placed us. So would you help us to be people who are prepared to dare to go out of our comfort zone, prepared to trust you when we feel vulnerable, prepared to rely on you to provide the resources, prepared to be the people you want us to be so that more people will discover your love, more people will find in you what they have been looking for, will be forgiven, will have eternal life, and will be so filled that it will overflow from their lives and they will share with others. Lord, we thank you for the time we've shared this morning, and we ask that you will now, as we go into this week, you will help us to remember that you go with us into the things, the situations, the places where we will be. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you so much for allowing me to share a little bit of how Homish is spent in SEBA. I want you to know that actually the way things are structured now, the Southeast Baptist Association has more say and influence over which projects receive Home Mission. So you can be sure that any giving you give will be used in a really effective way in our region, as well as to support some of the wider support things that are around. So thank you. And I believe we're going to finish by singing one more song together, Shine Jesus Shine. So when the words come up, if we're able, we'll stand and sing this together. that God goes with us. Therefore, go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
Hopefully it'll be around for a few minutes. If you want to catch up with Penny, questions, if you just want to know what's going on, a bit more detail about some of those things, just catch Penny at the end and that'd be great. And if you came today and you weren't aware there was going to be a special offering, just take that envelope, take one of those envelopes home, there's some more out there, and bring it back on another week, okay, and we'll make sure it gets where it needs to go. But tea and coffee in the hall, enjoy some fellowship together, and God bless, have a great week.